We're carrying on with the series that we started last week called How Did I Get Here? So looking at what we looked at last week, we looked at the story of a boy referred to in the Bible as the prodigal son. And the story, I'll just repeat the story really and just summarize. So this guy goes up to his father. He wakes up one day, goes to his father and says to his father, "Father, I want my share of everything you have. I want my inheritance now." Now, I think normally you get your inheritance after your parents have passed. They read the will and you get, you know, what's due to you. But this guy didn't want to wait till his father was gone. He had plans for his life and he needed cash for the plans that he had. So he went to his dad and said, "Dad, give me half of your inheritance now." And he took this money, and the Bible says he went to a far country and he blew the whole thing. And I think last week I was saying that this guy must have been the talk of the town. Maybe the guy went into all the nightclubs, and as he was entering the nightclub, they would say, "Man, buddy has arrived." He would be like, "Man, drinks on me, everything on me." And at the end of the day, he blew the money and he found himself homeless and actually hungry as well. And the guy was so hungry that he didn't have any food to eat. He started working in a farm and he was wishing that he could eat the food that the pigs were being fed. But they didn't even give him the food that the pigs were being fed. And at one point he looked at himself. And I believe the question he asked himself was, how did I get here? How in the world did I get here? Now, that might not be relevant to you in the context of the story, right? But there are times that we start off life and we're expecting certain things to happen in our lives. Maybe we start a relationship, or we're invested in a business, or we're just going about our normal activities, and we have an expectation. And the expectation is, if I do X, Y, and Z, I will get to where I need to get to. And we go through all those things that we planned in life, and we find ourselves in a place that we're not expecting. Sometimes it's so disappointing, and it's like, "Man, how did I end up in this particular situation? How did my life end up here? How did I lose so much?" So that was the story of this young boy. How did I get here? Now, the other thing we looked at last week was the fact that we kind of understood how the boy got there. And I mentioned something quite important. So the three things I mentioned last week was this. Every individual in this world has a vision that is going to take them somewhere. What did I say? Every individual has a vision that will take them somewhere. So for this young man, he had the vision that, "Look, I'll get the money from my father, and I will do X, Y, and Z, and I will end up enjoying my life in this particular form or fashion." So he had a vision for himself, but that vision didn't really turn out the way he expected. So the summary of what I was saying last week is this. Whether you realize it or not, you either have a vision for your life or someone else has a vision for your life. Now, the other thing I mentioned was this. When we say vision, we might say, "Well, that's a big fancy word. That's a word that maybe the large corporations should use. It's the kind of word that Asda Co-op should use when they're having their management meetings." And they say, "What's the vision of this company?" And they say, "The vision of this company is X, Y, and Z." But I'm not talking about vision at that level. I'm talking about vision as it relates to you as an individual. And what is vision? It's not a big fancy word. Vision, I got a Google definition here. It says, Vision is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination and wisdom. I'll repeat that. Vision is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. So what that means is this. Every single one of us imagine what the future will look like. Every one of us, or most of us, have a plan of what we want our future to look like. If you've ever thought in that way at all, then you have a vision. Then you have a vision. So someone might say, look, I don't have a vision. I'm just like taking life as it comes. No, you have a vision. Someone might say, look, I'm not even thinking about the future at all. I'm not even really too concerned about the future. I'm just going to see how it goes. Well, if you're not thinking about the future, someone is thinking about the future for you. And I said there are three, I mentioned three people that can have vision for you. Three people. Or should I say there are three sources of vision. Remember, vision is thinking about what's going to happen to you in the future. So there are three sources of vision that I mentioned. The first one is this. Popular culture can have vision for you. Popular culture can have vision for you. The second person, or the second source of vision, is you, yourself. And the third source of vision is God. So last week we looked at how popular culture gave this boy a vision. And he didn't even know that it was popular culture that gave him that vision. Now, when I say popular culture, I'm talking about what is trending. So popular culture is whatever is trending at this particular time. So maybe this boy looked at Instagram and he said, man, I want to be an Instagram person. I want to like take a picture at Dubai and tag everybody I know and say, yeah, I'm in Dubai. Or I want to go to Mexico. And I'll tag all my friends and make them jealous. I want to really have fun in life. So popular culture sold him that vision. Popular culture sold him the vision that, look, this sedentary lifestyle that you're living in your house, with your dad telling you what to do, you can't really, you know, that's not it at all. You should be out there having a go at life. That was what popular culture sold to him. Do you get what I mean? I was talking to someone a while ago, and this person doesn't live in England. They live outside England. And I said, look, in the country that you're in, what's the aspiration of, the general aspiration of young people there? Because I remember when I was much younger, I mean, the general aspirations that we had then was, you know, maybe you wanted to be like a doctor, you wanted to be something slightly more technical in those days. So I said, in the country that you're in now, what's the pulse like? And he said, man, all the young people now, doctor, forget it. Lawyer, never. Tradesman, furniture maker, never. They don't want that. The key occupation, the key aspiration, he told me, is like, everybody wants to be an influencer. So everybody wants to go on YouTube, and excuse me, I actually love YouTube and Instagram, so I'm not knocking it. So it's like, all the young people are like, hey, hello, it's me. Everybody wants to be an influencer. So it's like, are you going to class today? No, I'm not going to any class. Why should I go to class when I can just snap some pictures, I'm popular, and Instagram can pay me commission. Now, am I knocking that? I'm not knocking that at all. But what I'm saying is that the same way popular culture sells this dream to people now, popular culture sold this dream to this boy as well. Popular culture sold this dream to this boy. Do you understand? We now looked at the life of this boy, And we realize that at the end of his journey, at the end of the journey that popular culture sold to him, he realized that it was all empty. It was all empty. So what am I saying this morning? Just recapping from last week. I'm saying that, look, this is 2024. And I don't want to sound like, you know, you know when it's the beginning of the year, you have all these motivational messages. Like, yeah, it's the beginning of the year. It's 2024. You should, you know, all the things that you did last year that you couldn't achieve, this is the year and all that. It's just like I told my daughter last year during Christmas. I said, man, I'm going to eat as much food as I can now. In fact, my daily routine for Christmas was wake up, eat loads of rice and chicken, cake, sleep, repeat the next day. And the excuse I gave was that, you know what, sweetheart? Come 1st of January, I'm going to be reporting to my gym. It's a gym year for me. A gym year for me. Now, last week, which was, I think, the 2nd or 3rd of this month, said, oh, Dad, are you going to the gym? I said, next Monday. I said, next Monday, without fail, next Monday, I'm going to the gym. But the thing was, she now asked again. I said, I'm going Monday. But this time, I didn't say next. I just said Monday. I didn't specify which Monday. And the embarrassing thing is this. I still haven't gone to the gym yet. So I'm not giving us a 2024 opening motivational message. I'm just saying that, look, we need to really see who is selling us the vision and the aspirations that we have. Is it popular culture? Because the vision that popular culture sells us a lot of the times is empty. It's empty because it doesn't have God in it at all. Do you understand? So that was last week. So I said three sources of vision, popular culture, which we looked at last week. Today, I'm going to run through the second source of vision. And I think this one probably will resonate with you and I more. Because if you look at what I'm going to read now and what I'm going to explain, I don't know about you guys, but it is similar to the kind of thing that I would aspire to. We'll see where that leads as well. So today I'm looking at the second source of vision. The second source of vision that I'm looking at today is vision that comes from you. Vision that comes from you. Not from popular culture this time. I'm going to take my text from Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. Jesus begins to tell us a parable about a rich man. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. You can either open your Bibles or, sorry, they'll project it on there, but I'll read here as well. So Jesus begins to tell them this parable. And he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus gain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get all that you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whosoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. So I'm just going to make a number of points around the parable that Jesus told here. So Jesus begins to tell them this parable. He says there was a certain rich man. In those days, they didn't have, it was an agricultural society. So the way they measured their wealth then was physical crops, physical crops. It was not like now where we have money and all that. So the Bible begins to talk about this man who was very wealthy. And he looked at himself and he had worked really hard. He said, look, I don't even have enough barns to contain my money. I'm going to build more. Maybe it might be similar to you, where you wake up one morning and you have a bank account with Barclays, right? I'm saying right, that's American. I must remove that from my vocabulary. So Barclays calls you up in the morning and they're like, red alert, and they say, who am I going to call here? They say, Doc, you have so much money in this bank that we can't, it's too much. Our vault cannot contain it. You have so much money, Doc. Doc. You have so much money that you've become a risk to us. We don't have enough space for your money. Doc now wakes up and he says, oh, okay, I understand. Barclays, I understand the dilemma that I put you guys in. I know it's very difficult because I'm so wealthy. All right, I'll talk to HSBC. Maybe they might have enough space for my funds. If that's not enough, I'll talk to, give me another bank that's?
Lloyds.
Do I like Lloyds? Okay, Lloyds. So this man was so wealthy. And he was like, what am I going to do with all this? And he begins to distribute his wealth. Okay, I'll store it here, I'll store it there, and I'll store it there. I'm just going to highlight a number of things about this man that I think resonates with us. So I'll highlight about 4 or 5 points about this man before I make the final point. I think this applies to a lot of, should I say, Pentecostal Christians, like us, we're like Pentecostal. So the first was that he was financially blessed. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8 says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he's giving you. So the first thing we see about this man was that he was really financially blessed. God had blessed him. Do you understand what I mean? God blessed him. The second thing I see about this man was that he was really hardworking. If you look at Psalm 14, verses 23, the first part, it says, all hard work brings profit. So this guy wasn't a lazy person. He wasn't like a scammer. He wasn't at home scamming people. I remember there was once I was at home in down end here. I think this was about 4 years ago. And someone rings my phone. And I don't really recognize the number, but I pick the phone up. And it says, am I speaking to Mr. Benson? I said, yes. He said, I'm calling from the HMRC, and apparently you're behind on your taxes. You didn't file your taxes properly, and your account has been flagged up. In fact, it's such a serious case that I'm sorry to tell you that you might have to just, appear in court straight away. Actually, the police people are around the corner, just, on behalf of HMRC, and they're knocking on the houses of people who have not filed their tax correctly and all that. And, I think I'm quite, come on. I wasn't born yesterday. So, anytime I see any scammy things, my ear, it's like, man, come on. But this time, this guy sounded so genuine. In fact, his voice was like an HMRC voice because I'd spoken to those guys. I was now telling the guy that, look, I understand what you're saying, but I didn't file my returns. My accountant filed my returns. You guys should talk to him. He will sort everything. I said, I can tell that you're an honest man, Mr. Benson, and But it's just that you're in a, you know, this is a dire situation. The government is really clamping down on people who haven't paid their taxes and all that. And I was like, getting a bit panicky. I was like, man, what do I do here? I don't want the police knocking at my door and embarrassing me in front of all my neighbors. You know what I mean? Like, Pastor B, what's police doing at your house and all that? So I was trying to, you know, calm the guy down, to look, give me time. I will talk to my accountant. Then, do you know what the guy now says? He now says, I can tell that you're a really honest person, but if you can transfer 1,000 now, we will delay the case till next week for you to come in. I said 1,000. I hadn't got it by now. I said 1,000. I don't have 1,000. In fact, I think maybe I have like 100 quid, and it's not, you know, I don't. And I said, okay, no problem. That, do I have any relatives around that I can just gather the money and all that? At that point, I just said, this guy is a scammer. I just said, excuse me, you're a scammer. Can you beat that? So this man that we're talking about, he wasn't a scammer. He worked really hard for his money. He worked really hard for his money. So that's the second thing we see about this man that Jesus was talking about. So the first was that, you know, God blessed this man. The second thing was that he worked really hard for his money. He wasn't like a scammer, like those guys that tried to scam me a few years ago. The third thing we see about this man, he said, look, I'm going to invest my money here and there, and I'll now relax and live a comfortable life. And the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, it says, this is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and find satisfaction in the toilsome labor under the sun during the time of life that God gives them, for it is their lot. It says, moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil. So this man, he wanted to relax. I mean, he had worked really, really hard and was like, look, I'm just going to kick my feet up and relax. I'm not going to stress myself too much. I'm going to go on holiday to Dubai. I'm going to go to Morocco. I'm going to go to, which holiday spot do you guys like as well? Give me one. Switzerland. Thank you, Switzerland. Although I think there's too much snow there. I prefer hot climate. So this guy was like, that's what I want to do. Now, doesn't that look like us? Doesn't that look, I mean, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if I'm working really hard, I get up every morning, I'm working really hard, I'm investing my money, I'm doing that, and I want to go on holiday and relax. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't think so. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Then Jesus begins to make an interesting point here. And I think that's the point that we need to take to heart this morning. Jesus now goes further and he highlights something about this man, which is the fourth point I want to make about this man. And this is so subtle. So the fourth point about this man was that in all that he was doing, he wasn't conscious of God. He thought that he was going to live forever. And it was like, look, I can think about God later. For now, God, you need to understand what I'm really busy. I mean, come on. God, I need to really focus on my life. So this man was not conscious that, look, one day we're all going to meet God. We're not going to live forever. And Jesus began to say something about this man that's quite pertinent to us. That it is so easy for us to do the right thing. It's good to work. We should. It's good to invest. It's good to have aspirations. But Jesus makes the point that if our lives consists of just that. That's the only thing that makes up 100% of our lives. Jesus says that such an individual. Do you know what he calls such an individual? That's not a politically correct thing to say. Can you imagine if I went to someone and I said, look, do you work hard? And they say, yeah. Do you save? Yeah. You invest? Ah, oh, very wealthy. But you're a fool. Someone will just Instagram me on the spot. Then they'll put, pastor says, I'm a fool. Or he calls. But the reality is this. God says that, look, we can do all these things that are legitimate. However, if everything we do at the end of the day excludes God from it, then Jesus says it's not really a full life. So this man had a vision for himself, and it was a good vision. The sort that I would have for myself. But he wasn't conscious that if vision arises from you, but God has nothing to do with your vision, even though it's a good vision, where God is in the back burner, God, I'll see you later, God. I'm too busy now. God says it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You know, every second Sunday, right, of the month, I go to this retirement home. Actually, today's the second Sunday. I go there sometimes with my keyboardist. We do a hymn service, drink tea, coffee, and all these things. And after that, I sit with all these really great people, some of them in their 90s, youngest, maybe 81, 82. And I've been doing that for years. And I just sit with them after the hymn service, and I begin to ask them questions, and they begin to just talk. And some of them will say, oh, I was an RAF pilot in the war. Have you guys ever seen a real RAF pilot face to face or on telly? Well, if you haven't, I have. I have. I've interacted with people who fought in the war. They, you know, who couldn't explain what it was like. You know, firing bullets and all that in the air. Some of them, I mean, there was this really small lady. She was like, I was a truck driver. I used to drive trucks across. I said, you drive trucks? You're so little. Said, yeah. Some of them be like, I was this, I was that. And you know what? Some of them had a vision for themselves that had nothing to do with God at all. And I'm talking to someone who is 90, 95. And I see an emptiness. I see a slight regret. That, wow, how I wish I hadn't excluded God in my life. Most of my life. So I've seen this thing in real life. And God was saying to this man, you can do all these things, but if Jesus is not in any of it, he doesn't even click, then it's an empty vision, apparently. It's an empty vision. So we're looking at how did I get here? How did this man get here? Three sources of vision. Popular culture, which we looked at last week. Today, vision that comes from us, which isn't bad, but excludes God or puts God in the back burner. And God was saying something here as well, which is the fifth point that I'm going to make, then we'll pray. God says in Psalm 14, verse 2, Psalm 14, verse 2, it says, the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see If there are any who understand, any who seek God. So as you're sitting down here, as you're going about your business on a daily basis, as I'm going about my business on a daily basis, as you're taking your kids to school, as you're cooking whatever it is you cook at home, as you're doing all these things, the Bible tells us in Psalm 14, verse 2, that God is looking at every one of us. And what is he looking at? What is he looking for? What's he looking for? It says here, he's looking to see if there's anyone that understands that this life without me is pointless. And he goes on to say, look, who understands this? And who is seeking me as God? Who is concerned about me? Who is interested in knowing me? Can you imagine the creator of the universe? And this is what God is looking at when he looks down on us. So I'm going to stop there this morning. What I want to leave us with is this. If you and I do not deliberately choose to include God in our lives, popular culture will lead us. We'll lead ourselves. But from what I've seen in life, if God is excluded in our vision or our thinking, what I've seen and what Jesus says here is that at the end of the day, it's an empty life. It's an empty life. So this morning, I think for me, I just had to like really think. And if there's someone that's busy, my daughter will tell you, I am super busy. There are times I enter my study and I call it the room of no return. Because when I enter that study, I lose sight of whether it's day or night, which is not a good thing. And I'm working. I'm doing my office work. I'm doing church work. I'm doing design for the church. I'm doing videos and all that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm, you know. And God whispers. And he says, yes, you're doing all these things, but how about me? How about me? So I made a conscious decision that, look, no matter how busy I am, I will make time for God. Why? Because I don't want my life to be empty. I want God to form my vision. Do you understand? So this morning, I'm going to ask that we just rise up. And I just want us to pray. And it's a prayer between you and God. It's not a prayer that involves the person who's standing next to you. And really, it's being honest with God to say, look, God, man, I've been so super busy. I've been thinking about 2024 and all I was thinking about is this, this, and this. I didn't even think that, man, how can I spend more time with you? So this morning, we want to ask God to help us. To help us to really focus on him. Our Father and our King, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word says in Psalm 14 that you're looking down all the time, looking for us, looking to see that we understand that we should include you in our lives. You shouldn't just be in the back burner. Lord, today I'm asking that you help us. Help us to focus on you. Father, help us to focus on you. So you can talk to the Lord this morning. It's just a conversation between you and Jesus this morning. And really, let's be honest with him. Wherever you need help, ask him, look, I need help in this particular area. Help me. And he's right by your side to help you. Father, we give you praise this morning. Thank you because you never leave us or forsake us. You're there all the time.